How many know it's important to just trust God for finance in your life? You know, it's one of our core part of our life. There's basically six areas in your life. There's your faith in God, right? There's your family. There's your friends. And then there's what? There's your finances. There's your fitness. And there is your fellowship or your fun. You know, the things you do to have fun in life. And these make up a lot of the things in our life. I mean, that's pretty much your life, isn't it? If you're not having fun, you're working on with your faith. I mean, everything has to work with faith. Our faith is in God, and that's number one. Amen. We put Him first. But there's other areas of our life that affect us. We all need friends in our life. We all need that fellowship, don't we? You know, we need each other. We need one another. And so, anyway, finance is part of that, part of the core of your being. Because how many know we have to have money in this earth to live? How many can live here without money? Now, I'm not saying, I mean, every need could be met supernaturally. I mean, the birds of the air can bring you food if necessary, if it comes down to it. But that's not the normal course in which it's taking place. Most of us have some avenue of finance. Amen? One way or another. You're doing some kind of work and receiving that, or some of you are on pension, you receive a pension from the government or in the U.S., Social Security. You know, that's what you gain, or money that you set aside, or some way you're getting some kind of an income. Amen. And thank God we live in a nation that even helps those that can't. You know, if you're really bad off, you can still have a small income. You know, the government will help you out if you have that kind of a problem. If you're so disabled, you can't work, then God will, you know, we set that up as a society. You know, I'm not saying that the church shouldn't do their part, but, you know, it's something that God has blessed us to be in a nation, amen, where they do take care of the poor. They take care of those that are broken. You know, they can't take care of themselves any longer, so. Anyway, we're thankful for that. And so finance is an important thing in our life. And so we want to remember to honor God with our money. Amen. Be good stewards. Hallelujah. And to give some to God consistently. 2 Corinthians 9. In the New Testament, we know there's a couple ways that we give. We are what led those that are led by the Spirit of God are what? The sons of God, right? If God speaks to you and you say, hey, yes, Lord, I'll do that. He wakes you up in the middle of the night and you feel like God's telling you to give some money, praise God, you can get online. And you can give to us online, familyprayercenter.com, C-N-T-R-E, Family Prayer Center, and go to the donate button. And several people here even use that. I know our young people especially use it. So praise the Lord. And I've used it a few times. You can give with cash here with an envelope, or you can mail it in, send us a check. We'll cash it. Praise the Lord. We won't reject it. If you decide you want to fly here and give some cash, that's great. Praise the Lord. Those that are online, we'll receive you with thanksgiving. So we are thankful for all of that and all that God would do. But we want to be led, right, by the Spirit of God primarily in all that we do. Amen. In our finance, we want to ask the Lord about things. Hey, you know, I mean, I know one particular person. I'm just going to give this as an example. They were trying her husband. The husband wanted to go back to take a few classes at school. And they said, well, we're thinking about maybe selling our house, you know, and renting for a while so that we could cash flow my husband's education. Well, what are your bills right now? What's your house payment? Oh, about $1,100 a month. Well, that's not bad. Can you rent for that? Well, no, it costs us a little bit more to rent. Well, what other bills do you have? Well, we have a car. Well, how much do you owe on your car? $45,000. Oh, and then we have a second car. Oh, you do? How much do you owe on that? $12,000. I don't think the house was the problem. It's that car that you love so much. And there's nothing wrong with having a good car, right? If you can afford it. But, you know, when you have a $900 car payment, that makes life a little more difficult, doesn't it? Amen. You might want to maybe dull the shine on your car a little bit so that you can afford all the things of life and use what? God's wisdom. Amen. You know, I think the wise thing be for you to sell that $45,000 car. You know, maybe buy you something for $3,000 or $5,000, you know. Something you could just drive around for a while until you finish your school, until you can afford something better. Amen. There's nothing wrong with having good. Amen. Nothing wrong with having the best if you can afford it. But how many know we should be wise in our decisions? And so I'm just throwing that out there because sometimes when we talk about finance, we say, well, God will provide. Yes, He will. He'll provide for every need. He'll take care of you. But we want it to be within the means that God has called us. Amen. And sometimes when we overextend ourselves, it can cause trouble and we struggle to fulfill the plan of God in our life. How many know that? Amen. How many have ever struggled? And if you have, that's okay. It's not a sin to struggle. Well, let's not stay there. Amen. Let's build our world and begin to believe God and trust God so that we have that extra, you know, to sow into the kingdom and to use to fulfill whatever God asks us to do. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. 2 Corinthians, saying all that. Verse 7 says, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Well, God's desire is that we abound, that we have money to give, what, to everything that comes along, everything that He puts in our heart, amen? So that as we purpose in our heart, how many know when you're one with God and you seek Him, His desires become your desires? Amen. And when He places things on our heart, then we can choose and we can say, hey, according as I see fit with what I have, what God has given me to be steward over, I can give this much money. He doesn't want us, you know, you don't have to go into debt, and He doesn't want your, you know, your grocery money, you know, that you set aside, or the money that you have to take care of your baby or something like that. He doesn't have to have that, because you know what? If you don't have to give to God, He'll give to you if you'll believe Him. Amen. If you'll get your faith moving, we can take our faith. I was listening to someone this week, a wonderful man of God. He went from having, it gets pretty serious when you got no toilet paper in your house. He said, we had nothing, no toilet paper. He couldn't afford to buy any. That's pretty low. But he said, I decided to get along with God. And to get a hold of the Word of God. Because the Word of God will create an image on the inside of you to produce what God desires. And he went from no toilet paper to having a few multi-million dollar businesses over the years. Now, it wasn't right away. It wasn't overnight. It wasn't tomorrow. It wasn't in 1 year. But over time, God continued to prosper them. Now, he's a pastor also, but God continued to prosper him by the what? Wisdom of God and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Wisdom comes. God brings grace, and it doesn't have to be a burden on us, but we can follow him and walk with him, and he can cause us to increase. But we purpose in our heart what we're going to do, amen, what we're going to give to God as he blesses us. And we talk it over with him. We talked about that before, how to start walking in increase, you know. You know, it's one thing, you know, God meets our need. That's number one. We want to come to the place where we're free to walk with him and know that he's our provision, he's our supply, our provider. Everybody says, well, should I never go into debt? I can't tell you that. It's not wrong necessarily, but we don't want to be so far in debt that we can't continue to move with what God's plan is in our life, because that becomes that burden. I mean, I don't mind if you have a very nice car. I mean, if somebody can pay for it, great. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy life. God gave us all things to enjoy, but within His purpose, His plan. How does that fit in? See, there may be people that are called to be gospel entrepreneurs. You're called to witness to the guy that has millions or billions of dollars on the golf course, because I can't go play golf with him because he won't listen to me because I don't have his kind of money. I don't have his kind of lifestyle, but you do. We need people in every man's world. Each one, reach one. If that's the call of God on your life, praise the Lord. Let's get that money rolling. Hallelujah. Everybody says, well, you just want my money. No, I'm not interested in your money. I'm interested in God's kingdom being advanced. Amen. And how many know that it just takes a certain amount of money? I mean, we don't spend a lot here. We try to use everything as frugally as possible. And we try to follow the Lord. It doesn't mean that we're not going to come to a place. Hey, we're believing God. We operate from abundance. We have surplus. We got money to give to all kinds of people. Amen. But until that time, we're going to keep walking with Him and using wisdom and writing down. You know, you might want to write down your budget. Well, why? Because sometimes we don't realize exactly how much you are spending. And you can find places that you can save. You said, wow, I could have been saving that all along. Yeah. Change your life and change the life in the kingdom of God. Amen. So, anyway, I don't know why I got into all that, but it was good anyhow. Praise the Lord. Let's purpose in our heart, amen, and to be led of the Spirit of God. And purpose in our heart what we're going to give to God. You get with the Lord. Talk to Him about your money. Say, come on, God. I mean, what do I need to do? I need to what? Well, of course, we need to meditate the Word of God and let the image. You know, you don't have to have a high-paying job to have an image to increase in God. He can cause monies to come to you. Amen. You say, well, how's that going to happen? That's where we seek Him. We obey Him for whatever He does tell us to do. And we trust Him for the rest. I mean, you know, it's not too hard for God. He could speak to the, you know, who's the rich guy here? The guy that's, you know, one of those dudes that's on that show, that TV show or whatever. What's that called? Oh, with it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But anyway, he could speak to anybody, couldn't he? Well, he might speak to you, Pastor Doug. Yeah, he might. And I'll be obedient. Amen. Needs can be met. God will take care of us, and we can give into His kingdom. Don't let the devil lie to you. Well, I can't give anything. Why can't you give a dollar? Can you skip that cup of coffee? Ooh, now we're getting down where the rubber meets the road, aren't we? You know, if you skip your two cups of coffee, you know, that's $4, you know, a couple dollars a cup, right? There's $4. You can give something. Come on. Amen. You know, well, it's not much. No, but if all of us do that and think that way and start thinking the kingdom. I remember Gary was sharing about his mom, and they were ordering, and she says, well, don't you want the big hamburger? She says, well, if I get the small hamburger, I can give a little more to the gospel. It was on her mind. It was on her heart. You say, well, that's not very much difference. No, it's not. And God doesn't mind if you have the big hamburger. I'm not saying He does. But her point was she was doing it out of her heart, because it was something that she says, hey, I can purpose in my heart. And here's one way I can give a little bit more to see the gospel so somebody else has that opportunity to receive Jesus. And I'm not saying it has to take a lot of money, but there is a certain amount. Amen. Amen. How many know it costs money to buy Bibles for people to get saved? Amen. It takes things. So anyway, that's enough. I don't want to keep rambling. Hallelujah. But if you brought your gift today, thank you very much. If you haven't brought it up yet, you can bring your money to the basket, and we're going to pray right now. Hallelujah. If you gave online, just begin to be blessed in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak the blessing of heaven upon all the giving, Lord God, and those that couldn't give. I speak abundance to every person that's listening in the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. I come against the strongholds of lack, and I declare abundance be in Jesus' name. May God guide each heart, each person, Lord God, in their relationship with you, and bless them, Father, and bring them through. Hallelujah, Father, as they call upon your name. You said, Lord, if we seek the Lord, you would cause us to prosper. So, Lord, we want to be seekers of you, and you will prosper us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, and being the Lord's disciple or a follower of him, right, being a disciplined follower, we want to remember, you know, I mean, a lot of times people come into the kingdom. And there's a lot of things that we need, and we've looked at these things before. Of course, number one is to what? Love the Lord our God, right? With all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He said, love him. And we've talked about that here. We've talked about the love of God. We've been talking about different aspects of that love. And see, when we are faithful to just walk with him, to love him, how many know things change? Things in your life will change when you know, hey, I've committed my life. I love him. I love him more than my mother and father, more than my husband or wife, more than my brother or sister, more than my own life also. Ooh, that's a high order sometimes, isn't it? You know, there's things in our life that we want to do and we love. We think, well, I've wanted to do that all my life. I'm trying to find my place, sir, while I'm talking here. Praise the Lord. I had it marked. Now I'm not sure what I did with that mark. But glory to God. Here we go. There are some things that we can do and that we should do that continue to help us. Okay, I had it right the first time. In our walk with God and in our love walk. Amen. And I want us to, we've been talking about that, but turn over to Jude chapter 1. That wasn't a joke. There's only one chapter. I know that. But Jude said, well, we know the book of Jude. We've been there before. I know you have. But I just want us to look at a few things this morning that we can take a look at. I've actually got some points to my message today. So, and all of us can make a decision to expand our spiritual capacity. Hallelujah. How many know that's true? You can decide on purpose to expand your ability to, number one, to house the love of God. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, one way, of course, is worship. We've talked a little bit about that here quite a bit. We did a little series on worship. How to worship God. You yourself, you and him together, right? We just sit down, right? And we make sure our mind is thinking about what we are saying. And we choose to worship him. Now, worship is going to bring you into a place where the presence of God comes. Because he said, I inhabit the praises of my people. And of course, Psalm 82, he said he causes what? To still that voice of the enemy, our emotions, right? Where he often works in our mind and our emotions. How many know the enemy doesn't just come to you? He doesn't appear to you as the devil, does he? He doesn't appear there with that, you know, at least in American, here in the culture, you know, sometimes we see the devil, that pitchfork and the tail. I knew it was him. I saw him. That pitchfork and tail. He doesn't come to you that way, does he? He comes to us subtly. The Bible says he is crafty. He has ways to come in that trick us. Why? Because he comes through our flesh. He comes through our desires of the flesh. He comes through our emotions. That's how he tries to lead people away. You say, well, I could never be led astray. But here we're going to read in just a minute some people, they did get led astray. And how many know there are some doctrines going around today? Hey, whatever you do is okay. Grace will cover me. The grace of God, and the grace of God has set you free. But the Bible says that the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Amen. How many know that's true? And into holiness and righteousness. That's what the grace of God does. It is a power that works within. It is not a license to operate in all kinds of sin and say, I'm going to heaven anyway. If that is true, then what was the point of Jesus? I want to understand. His point, he paid a high price for you to set you free from sin. And he gave you the power to walk free of it. He gave you a nature on the inside of you that was changed from darkness to light. And if we're going to walk with him, then there's some things that we can do on purpose. Amen? And of course, one of those things for our spiritual capacity to enlarge it is worship. That's one. But also here, Jude begins to describe some things. And he, let's just go to Jude. Sorry. I do know what I'm talking about. And we're going here, and he begins to describe some other things that take place and was taking place in the body of Christ. Because he starts out and he said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. How many know we don't rise above the title of servant? I don't care if you're pastor, apostle, prophet, bishop, whatever you want to call yourself, master, king. You are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ if you've been born again. That's number one in our life, is we are to stay a servant. And whether we're serving as the person that is working as the washroom cleaner, or if you're vacuuming the floor, or if you're painting the building, or whatever it is that God has you doing, we are a servant unto the Lord. Amen. Whatever you do, he said, in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And we don't rise above servant. Whether we're preaching the word of God, we are here to be a servant to mankind. We serve the word of God, and that's what we're doing today. He said, and brother of James to them. And he says, this is Jude, the servant of Christ. I'm the brother of James. Now, James is the one here. He's talking about James that wrote the book of James, who was the brother of Jesus, or the half-brother of Jesus, because God was Jesus' father. Amen. And Joseph was his earthly father, the one that raised him and raised Jude as well, and James. You know, Jesus had several brothers, okay, and a couple of sisters that are mentioned in the Word of God, maybe more. And how many know, many times God doesn't just call one, he calls many times, he calls a family, amen, to serve the Lord in different capacities. Have you ever seen that? You know, I mean, you know, just think about that. Now, except for maybe some people that feel called to be a priest, you know. Yes, I'm a priest like my father before me, you know. See, priests, they don't believe in getting married, right, and having children. Some of them, many of them. It's a little hard to see it operate in the whole family. But how many know? Many times that happens. The call of God comes upon what I'm called. God called me. I have several uncles that are in the ministry. I'm not saying every person necessarily, but many families. When the call of God is upon us, it comes to many. I know my oldest brother, there's a call of God in his life. God has called him. He may not be fulfilling it, but he shall. In Jesus' name, I decree it. I declare it. I see him in church, worshiping God, so thankful for his salvation and deliverance, fulfilling the call of God before Jesus comes. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's believe God for some things. Hallelujah. Now, I'm getting all one side down the other, and if you think I'm all confused, I am not. Because Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, and we were talking about people in the family that God is God. Now see, we see that here, even Jesus' sisters, by history anyway, apparently they married preachers themselves and were involved in the ministry. Hallelujah. How many know? God didn't just choose somebody nonchalant when he chose Mary and Joseph. Joseph was a just man. He wasn't a poor man. He was, you know, everybody says, well, he was poor. No. He just had his poor little carpenter shop. And I know we sing about that. It's all good and well. But it wasn't a poor little carpenter shop. Joseph probably had his own building company. Did building more than just a little carpentry work. He did stone work. He did all kinds of different construction and was probably quite wealthy. Okay, he worked hard and he had a good business going. Glory to God. And that's not right here in the Bible, but that is history. How many know there's history in the world that can substantiate things from the Bible? We can learn some things. There's some things that come about. And so here we have Jude, the brother of Jesus, and James. It says, all right, and they're saying, and them, he's writing to us, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. How many have been called to walk with God? You've been sanctified. You're set apart to serve the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. And he says, beloved. Now, that's a very interesting term because the root word there goes back to agape. And this is not the word agape, but it's agapeo, which is like a revering. He's saying, you are my beloved. I respect, I admire the beauty in your life, the way that God has designed you to be, the great work that God has done in you. And your call in Christ Jesus, he's saying, I love you. You are the beloved of God. And I acknowledge the greatness that God has placed in you. He said, when I gave all diligence to write unto you, I was going to write at the common salvation, but it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. In other words, he's saying, I want you to hold fast to what you have received, to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to the foundation that was placed within you. Hallelujah. There's some foundational truths. How many know? Repentance from dead works, right? Faith toward God. The doctrine of baptisms. These are foundational truths. That's what which was written in the book of Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews gave us in Hebrews chapter 6. First couple of verses there you see six foundational truths. And he's saying to them, contend for this faith. That faith that produced the foundation on the inside of you to where you are God's servant, you are God's son. You are God's daughter. You are God's child. And he walks with you. Our sister, we're sharing today. He'll never leave us nor forsake you. In other words, when you need him the most, he's going to be there. He says, you know, the Amplified saying, never. No, never, ever. He's not ever going to leave you. Never. He will not leave you comfortless. Amen. He's not going to leave you comfortless in the storm. He said, I've come to be with you forever. Remember when we read about the Holy Spirit? What? He comes in us to be with us forever. Hallelujah. But here he's saying, give all diligence. In other words, there is an on-purpose way for you to expand. Number one, your spiritual capacity. Okay? Hallelujah. It is God. The word here, Jude, and he says here, I want you to contend, and then he goes on. From verse 5 through 16, he begins to explain those that were giving the warning. He's giving those that were the false teachers, those that were coming in unawares, They were not coming in and saying, you know, I'm the devil. Here's the lie. But they were coming in, sneaking into the body of Christ and sharing things that sounded good. How many know in the last days, he says, what? They're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Why? Because doesn't it sound good? It'd be nice if it were true, but everything's already forgiven. You don't even have to repent anymore, some would say. But that's not what the Bible says, is it? The Bible says that we are called to walk with Him and to allow our spirit and our life to be one with God Almighty. And we were talking about how in John 17, how Jesus said that they would be what? One. That you might be one, even as I, Father, and you are one. And that's the purpose of the new birth, to bring you into that oneness, that righteousness, that sanctified place where you are set apart for God's purpose. And he's saying here, beloved, I want you to give some diligence. I am giving diligence to write to you. I wanted to write about the common salvation, but it appears to me, and Jude probably read the book of Peter, Peter's letter, and realized, hey, there's some things that are happening that shouldn't be happening. And he said, I want to remind you to contend for the faith. I want to remind you that you will be diligent to give yourself to God. For these certain men, verse 4 says, crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, they turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, they said, whatever feels good, do it. It's okay. They were lying to the people. It's not okay. Sin is not okay with God. It separates us and breaks our fellowship with the Father. How many know if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father? Jesus Christ the righteous. It belongs to you. Why? Because you are a son or daughter of God. It doesn't really belong to the world. It belongs to you. Now the world can come to Christ and they can be forgiven. And they can have that. But how many know? First, you've got to receive Jesus. Amen. But you have a place. And he said, they're here and they're saying, these ungodly men, just like they do today, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. He said, I will therefore, verse 5, put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness unto judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, they were going after strange flesh, are set forth an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now he's talking here seriously about what could cause someone to lose their salvation and end up in eternal fire. It's exactly what Jude is saying. He said, these are not people that are going to heaven. These are not those. They are saying, hey, it's all right. You can be lascivious. You can walk in sin. You can do whatever you want and you'll be okay with God. He said, even as like Sodom and Gomorrah, for example. And we know about Sodom and Gomorrah. Who knows what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? It was destroyed, wasn't it? And even Lot's wife, who looked back. You say, well, why was she turned to a pillar of salt? Because she looked back. Because of where her heart was. Her heart was not solely out to God and sold out to God Almighty. It was still stuck in sin. Her heart never really repented or changed her mind about what was going on. She still longed for it. Still wanted it, still desired it, instead of saying, yes, I'll go with you, I'll flee from it. It says, likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, did not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuked thee. But these, they speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them. I would not want this said about me. I don't know about you. But when God says woe, see, this is the this is Jude. He's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God coming forth. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for what? Reward. How many know that was Balaam's problem? He wanted the money, didn't he? He was after it. He said, I'll do whatever's necessary. I'll come over there. And he couldn't even curse them, but he said, I'll tell you what to do to get cursed. And he helped them curse themselves. Amen. See, this is what they're doing. They're teaching people how to deny God themselves and how to be cursed of God, really, and how not to go to heaven. Balaam for reward. Some of them are doing it for money. Amen. How many know you can get lost in money? It's one of the things that, you know, a lot of people have trying to get the money. They lost what they needed. Amen. The Bible says what? You can gain the world and lose your own soul. All right. They perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, have no fear of God. In other words, their clouds are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. In other words, it's advantageous for them to speak well of certain people, to put themselves in certain positions, to allow to say just the right thing, to make it sound good, but it's ungodly. It's unholy and unrighteous. And God is saying there's going to be judgment that will come upon those that do not walk fully with God. I'm telling you, there's some people that are going to face judgment. It's going to happen in the house of God. And the more we turn into the move into the glory of God, the more of that we're going to see. You say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, there are some people that I believe, and I know, I mean, if they continue in sin, continue in unrighteousness, how many know it's not really the judgment of God? They brought it upon themselves. See, God's already judged sin. It was judged in the flesh. It was judged in Jesus. But when you reject Jesus, when you're rejecting and not declaring the Lord Jesus as the only Savior, and you're saying, hey, whatever you do is A-okay, you're in danger of judgment. It's already been declared. He said, I've already judged it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, anyway, we're moving forward. All right, I'm going to have to hurry. All right, let's jump down here. And then he says here, he begins to exhort the Christians. He is drawing a distinction between those that are ungodly and you and I who are beloved and righteous. He started out, didn't he? Beloved, I've come to write to you, and I'm come here to warn you. I must tell you these things. It is necessary that you earnestly contend for the faith. And now, here Jude is getting ready to tell us exactly how to contend for that faith that was once delivered. But, beloved, remember you the words, verse 17, which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Those be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, making a distinction, making a comparison here, but you, beloved, are not like them, are you? Amen. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Hallelujah. Here we see some of what the Lord Jude is saying, to be building up ourselves on our most holy faith. Now, building up, when we look at that word, it describes the enlarging of a house as well as that is entailed in the building process. The things that are entailed within a building that is being built, a house that is built. How many know if you have a house, you have to have some plans, don't you? This word denotes an intentional, on-purpose way in which we begin to build up ourselves, a deliberate decision to build on top of a foundation with a well-thought-out plan. Therefore, intentionality is implied. But you, beloved, building up yourself. All within that word, we see it is a on-purpose, intentional decision to, number one, build yourself up and enlarge your capacity to be able to receive more of God. Hallelujah. You, by praying in other tongues, you're building ourselves up. It seems that Jude was saying, friends, a great foundation has been laid in your life. Now you are intentionally and intelligently, you begin to build your life on top of that foundation. And Jude describes this as the most holy faith. In other words, the foundation that was laid in you of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, repentance from dead works, the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, faith toward God, eternal judgment, all of these are foundational truths that were laid within you. And we are building up ourselves, our capacity to continue to move forward and to expand our spiritual understanding. And he specifically is talking about the faith or the doctrine that was once delivered. Remember, he's saying the faith that was once delivered to the saints. In other words, the same doctrine that the apostles preached, who got it? Where'd they get their doctrine from? From Jesus, didn't they? They followed Jesus. And so these same truths, these same foundations. And so there were these number of individuals who had wormed their way into the church. They were perverting the grace of God into a teaching that basically said, as we already talked about, anything goes. We're covered by God's grace. To combat this deplorable practice, Jude wrote and urged believers to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto us. That is, we're to guard and fight for the truth, passing it on to others in the same pure form that we received it. Amen. We want to keep it pure, with no alterations and no divisions. And one of the primary ways we do this is by building on top of the immovable, unshakable foundation of the Word of God. And we continue, as we continue to build ourselves up, we are increasing that capacity. We are building upon the foundations of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection, how many know, of the dead? How many know you're going to be raised from death to life? Amen. You're going to live forever. the doctrine of eternal judgment, that God will judge every person. Amen. We're going to move forward. I'm not getting into all of those right now. We've talked about some of those, so forth. But we're enlarging our spiritual capacity. And so we know that prayer is a time when we draw near to God and offer ourselves to Him, and we tell Him what we need, don't we? It's that conversation with Him. Here we're saying, when He talks here, we're praying what? In the Holy Ghost, in the Spirit of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, in Him. In other words, on the very inside, amen? It gives the impression of one who is praying in the realm and in the control of the Holy Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 14:4 iterates that idea. He says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, what? Edifies himself. So the word edify right here, meaning to enlarge or to amplify. You're going to enlarge or amplify a house. It depicts the careful following of an architectural plan. To enlarge, to increase, to enhance a structure, okay? To edify. It can also be to improve or leave something in an improved condition. How many know that when we begin to pray in tongues, we're going to be improved? There's going to be things that are changed. We enlarge our spiritual capacity to receive from God. Essentially, when we begin to pray in the Spirit, we begin to push out our spiritual walls. We raise the ceiling in our life. Hallelujah. Amen. Our spiritual interior becomes bigger. Our ability to what? Receive from God. Our ability to expand our vision. Our ability from the inside to be changed, to receive and to house more of who He is. The Apostle Paul had a deep revelation of what takes place when we pray in the tongues. He said in 1 Corinthians, how many know? 14, 18. We're familiar with that verse. Who knows what that says? Paul said, I pray in tongues more than ye all. He said, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all. Amen. Every time Paul prayed in tongues, he was expanding his spiritual insides. Amen. The interior of who he really was, and making more and more room for revelation of truth, which enabled him to write the majority of the New Testament. How many know Paul? And he wrote a lot of it. Amen. Not all of it, but a lot. 3/4 of it, pretty much. Now, somebody says, well, you know, if you really break it down, it wasn't, you know, it was close. Maybe more than that, but anyway. It's the same way every time that you pray in tongues, you increase your spiritual capacity to receive and hold more divine revelation and more of the Holy Spirit's power in your life. How many want more of God? How many know that you can increase that capacity to receive? When you find yourself in the situation where you need God's insight on what to do, what to say, where to go, then we need to just stop, right? What we're doing, and we can begin to pray in other tongues and receive God's direction, His sense. It helps us draw near to the supernatural source of every single thing that we need. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll be drawing near to Him. In other words, He's saying, beloved, I call you to that, to this place, because it's the only thing that I can, only way I know how to express how deeply I love and cherish you. You are my beloved. You must intentionally do all you can to focus on building and further expanding your spiritual lives on top of the foundation of your most holy faith. and be consistently drawing near as you pray in the realm and in the control of the Holy Spirit. You are opening your spiritual man on the inside, expanding him or her, expanding your spiritual person, amen, on the inside, that we can receive more. Hallelujah. And if you want to be filled, maybe somebody's here and they say, well, I don't know if I pray in tongues yet. And you want more information about that? Well, when we get done here today, come on down to the front. We'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you. We can do that today, or you can call the church and we'll pray with you anytime. Amen. I know most of you pray in tongues. Maybe all of you do. So praying in the Spirit, secondly, the second thing I want to share. Number one, we said it improves or increases our capacity. I probably should just stay there, but hallelujah. And praying in the Spirit also keeps us in the love of God. And we see that here in verse 21. Praying in the Holy Ghost, verse 20, the last part of verse 20, keeping what? Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I just want to say that praying in the Spirit helps keep you in the love of God. Now, this word keep here depicts the uninterrupted vigilance of soldiers who are positioned to protect something of great importance. So it's like a soldier who has been assigned to keep something of importance protected. Keep yourselves. In other words, he's saying, hey, this is an important thing. On purpose, you can keep yourself. It's going to help to keep you in the love of God. Now, I've been reading through this many, many times, and I've seen this before, but it's becoming more understandable. I looked some of the words up and started studying certain words here. And when we begin to understand that this is a building that is done on purpose, it is a plan that is set out for you. When you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, the plan of God begins to be built on the inside of you, and you begin to expand and be able to receive more and house more of the love of God, more of the presence of God. Now see, praying in tongues is going to give you something that worships not. They're different keys. Now, they're still both intimacy with God. But praying in tongues is going to give you more of the revelation, more of the understanding of who God is and everything that God is in you, to you, and ultimately through you. It's also going to keep us what? In the love of God. Helping us walk in that love, begin to understand that love, begin to get the revelation of who we are, the God of love, that I am a love child of the love God. Depicts that intimate, that uninterrupted. We want to be uninterrupted and keep vigilance. Keeping ourselves, what? In the love of God. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's part of what's going to happen. We're going to have that greater capacity, and we're going to have that love. All right, hallelujah. And we said it described the soldiers charged to stand guard, who knew they were to be faithful and to remain committed to their charge, regardless of assaults or the number of attackers they might encounter. It doesn't matter what the assaults are. You've been charged to stay on guard, to let the love of God operate in your life. Hallelujah. Woo. I think I'll go pray in tongues for a little bit. But anyway, we know a lot of these things, but this is one thing. We were talking about the love of God. One of the things that we can do is pray in other tongues. It's going to help us to stay in that love and to walk in that love. Amen. Hallelujah. So one who is praying in the realm and in the control of the Holy Spirit is kept inside the love of God. How many know? He indwells you. Sometimes when you're praying in tongues, you may not feel anything. You may not sense anything. You may not see anything. You may not know anything, but you can have faith based on what God's Word says, that I am building myself up, I am increasing my capacity, and I am moving forward and protecting myself and keeping myself and guarding myself into the love of God. His love for me and my love for my fellow man and for him. Therefore, if you want to be kept and protected in the indescribable love of God and demonstrate his tangible love toward others, you need to be praying what? In the Holy Spirit. Spending time praying in other tongues. It's going to build me up. It's going to strengthen me and keep me in that love of God. And it's going to enable us to do something else here. He says, keep in the love of... Okay, verse 20, but you, beloved, building up yourselves in most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves, what? Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. It enables us, when we begin to pray in tongues, it helps us to take hold of the mercy of God. How many know there are times we need mercy, amen? Mercy means that we get what we don't deserve. Amen. You receive what you don't deserve. Now, the grace of God empowers us to walk out many things. How many know we have mercy and grace? Woo! Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need mercy. Lord, I need your mercy. I didn't do what I was supposed to, or maybe you did something. Anybody get pulled over by the cops? Oh, God, give me mercy. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, help me. What's your name, ma'am? Do you have your driver's license? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here it is. You know, and you're a little nervous, and you need the mercy of God. Amen. But by using this here, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now here this phrase describes a hope of expectation. How many are expecting? Amen? We have an expectation of something. It depicts one so expectant that he is ready to embrace, to gladly welcome, and to fully and completely take something without reservation or hesitation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many have a little bit of hope? He says, we could have that looking for something, right? He says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude is informing us that when we pray in the Spirit, he enables us to fully and completely take a hold of something without reservation or hesitation. And the thing we are able to take hold of is the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, mercy here is pity, compassion, or the deep-seated and unsettling emotion a person feels in response to something he has seen or heard. It is more than just feeling pity. More than that, it pictures that deep-seated emotion of compassion that we have to action. It promotes one to action. Hallelujah. That's a little more than what I thought it meant. I don't know about you. But here, there's an emotion that comes with it. It's not just feeling bad, wringing our hands, and, you know, but there's that compassion that compels us to action to help someone else. Isn't that interesting? See, praying in tongues does a lot of things. Now, we're just touching the tip of the iceberg. We could go into much more. Many of you heard much more. But how many know it's important? See, it's pertaining to us. Building that foundation that's on the inside of you. We're building upon the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Increasing our capacity. We are allowing him, and it is enabling us to stay in the love of God and to get a hold of something and to have an ever-increasing expectancy with the mercy of God. Unto what? Eternal life. How many is going to live forever? Hallelujah. How many are expecting eternal life? Oh, we got one. No, we got several here. All you online, I see your hand out there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the use here, if we look here, we can see God's mercy, which is working in our life right now, it's going to continue to work in our life all the way to eternal life. Life without end, life everlasting, life that is eternal, life that will last forever and ever. It's never going to end. And sometimes that's hard for us, isn't it? How many think that's kind of wild, huh? Living forever. It's kind of a hard concept for me anyway sometimes. See, Jesus, God, this is even harder. Really, God didn't have the beginning. We have a beginning, but we have no end. There's no end to our life. We have eternal life. We can have that hope. We have that expectancy. And we can walk in that kind of compassion that is going to compel us to do things even for those around us. Amen. Are you seeing the importance of building and to expand our life on the foundation of the Word of God? That's praying in tongues, expanding that life, right? Our spiritual capacity to receive divine revelation and more of the Spirit's power to build and protection, the hedge that keeps us safe inside the love of God, enables us to reach out and grab hold of the mercy of God moment by moment from right now through all eternity. Unto eternity. There's more that Jude said than just start praying in tongues. He said that's going to produce something on the inside of you. It's going to bring that revelation. It's going to bring that understanding. It's going to bring what you need to have a greater capacity to house the power of God, to walk in the love of God, and to embrace the mercy of God, which moves us, what, to such a compassion that we reach out to change a situation, whether it be in prayer, whether it be one-on-one, you're sharing Jesus, whether it be whatever it is, whatever that need is, our compassion ability begins to increase and the mercy of God flows through us to set men free. Amen. Hallelujah. How many want to pray in tongues a little bit more? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Moment by moment, we can, on purpose, begin to move forward and increase our capacity with God. Amen. Increase the love of God and to take hold of, to grab the mercy of God to eternal life. Hallelujah. From now until we live forever and ever. How many are excited about that time? Some of us got people over there. Who's got somebody over there? Most all of us. Amen. We know somebody that's gone before us. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. But praying in tongues has much to do with our walk with God, our walk in the Spirit, to knowing Him, to walking with Him.